Councillors, it's now 5:30. I'll declare our meeting open. I'd like to welcome everyone, particularly the members of the public gallery. There's been a surprising increase in public gallery numbers over the last couple of months, and it's actually wonderful to see. And could I commence our meeting by acknowledging the Gumbangia people, who are the traditional custodians of this land. I pay respect to elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to any Aboriginal people present. Gentlemen, and anyone in the public gallery. Thank you. Could I also remind everyone that under Council's Model Code of Meeting Practice, this meeting is being audio recorded. You should refrain from making any defamatory or inappropriate statements. The recordings will be publicly posted on Council's website once the minutes are released, and if you have a mobile phone with you, could you turn it to silent, please? And I'll now call for apologies.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have no apologies.
Thank you. Then I'll invite Pastor Dave Bosshard from the Nambucca Valley Christian Community Church on behalf of the Nambucca Ministers Association to come forward and lead us in prayer. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you for your constant service to this community and council as well. It's awesome to see, and community, it's good to see you all here as well. Let's pray. Well, Father, we just thank you for this wonderful valley. Lord, we thank you for the rain that we had today, Lord, and we just ask for this meeting, Lord, that you just bless it. Lord, your word says that wisdom cries out to us from the corner street, and so, Lord, we ask that wisdom will be heard, Lord, and implemented in today's meeting. In your holy and wonderful name, amen. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Pastor. Disclosures of interest?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I have one disclosure of interest from Mayor Hoban regarding item 11.3, the draft development controls for horticulture.
Thank you. Confirmation of the minutes from the ordinary meeting of the 25th of July. Moved Councillor Angel, seconded Councillor Jones. Are there any corrections to the minutes? None. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Councillors, while I remember, could I ask you to, when you're speaking tonight, to ensure that your microphone is close and bent forward? I understand that at previous meetings, members of the public gallery have had difficulty. Someone's drawn my attention to the fact that it's been difficult to hear. So if we can... Thank you. Okay, we'll go to notices of motion. The first is on page 19, item 5.1. And I'll formally move that. Seconded Councillor Wilson, I think, was first. Seconded Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? I think it's self-explanatory, and council staff have actually looked at the Austroads standards, and the wording of the motion reflects that standard, and the standard does indicate that priority should be given or to priority traffic, so where there's the highest traffic flow should be given priority. I think that's the plain English version of the standard. Okay, well, rather than waste any more time, those in favour? Against? It's carried. Councillors, before we deal with item 5.2, which is on page 20, I'm going to move that we bring forward item 9.1, which is the General Manager's advice regarding to, if I can get a seconder. Seconded Councillor Angel, I'll speak to it. It doesn't seem logical to me to consider the General Manager's advice on an item after we've dealt with the item. So not much point considering his advice after we've already voted on it. So those in favour? Against? It's carried. So we'll now bring forward item 9.1. there's a recommendation there. Moving the recommendation. Moved, Councillor Jenvey. Seconded, Councillor Buchanan. It's open for discussion. Councillor Jenvey.
I was going to move an amendment, Madam Mayor, inside my own notice of motion that encompasses the General Manager's advice, but you've moved it forward. In speaking to it, I'm happy that we... happy, but if we don't adopt 2 and 4, 2 and 3, in the recommendations, and that we... I was probably getting ahead of myself a bit.
Yeah. This is just for protocol, that anyone reading the minutes after this meeting is going to think it very illogical to consider the General Manager's advice in relation to a notice of motion after we've considered and voted on the notice of motion. So if you intend... you're just advising the councillors that you've taken on board his advice.
I have taken it on board when we deal with it.
So is there any further discussion on the actual recommendation that's on the floor? Which is essentially that we note the advice. Thank you. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. We'll now go back to item 5.2. Councillor Jambi?
I'll move item 5.2 with a recommendation, with an amendment.
Sorry, can you use your microphone, Councillor Jambi? Right. Bring it closer.
I'll move item 5.2 with an amendment, Madam Mayor.
Well, it won't be an amendment. You're moving an alternate motion.
Yeah, okay.
You can't move an amendment when there's no motion on the floor, so...
I'll move the motion and speak to it, but then when I have spoken to it for a bit, I'll put an amendment up.
Based on what you said...
Right, you want...
I shouldn't really tell you what you should do, but you don't have to move what's there, and because there's no other motion on the floor... You indicated that you were going to move 1 and 4?
Yes, with an...
Well, that's all you need
point.
To move. You I'd just like say, I move... Right. I move recommendation 1 and 4.
Yes.
And it's the motion. There's no amendment.
Well, I would like to add another dot point to that, thank you.
Well, you can do that as well.
Yeah.
You're not amending anything because there isn't a motion.
Okay, all right. Well, I would like to move the motion that includes dot points 1 and 4. And to include a further dot point, and that is that Council considers affordable housing for inclusion in the community strategic plan.
So it's 1, 2, and they'll become 1, 2, and 3. Just wait until it's up and double check that. You're happy with that? It's just...
As happy as I'm going to be.
Well, your additional... No, sorry, your additional one's in the middle, but I don't think the number order matters.
I'm happy that it's at number 2 because that's the things that were removed sat in the middle. So, yeah.
Seconded, Councillor Jones. It is a motion. It's open for discussion. Councillor Jenvey.
Look, in speaking to this motion and the changes, look, I really wanted Council to be more engaged and more active in this space, and I also wanted the community to be more engaged. So I perhaps have achieved that purpose, but I was perhaps jumping the gun a bit in trying to get stuff to happen on greenfield sites and things like that. So I gather if it's in talking to the General Manager today, if it's included in the community strategic plan, then later on I can, I can push for affordable housing options or affordable housing planning or strategy. So at this stage, in order for something like that to happen and for the development to catch up, but we need to have it in the community strategic plan to be dealt with by council.
Thank you. Is there any other discussion? Councillor Jones.
Yes, Madam Mayor. Look, I'm happy to support this, and the reason I'm happy to support it is we need to really, as a community, shine a light on what is an increasing problem of homelessness. I think we're all aware that there are people living in bongo vans and other forms of, you know, vehicles, travelling around the valley up and down the mid-north coast. There is homelessness, people sleeping rough. So anything we can do as a community to support these people, I think, is important. And the initiative and the conversation is where we start. So I'm happy to second the motion.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Is there any other discussion? I did have a couple of questions, and I know that it's now sort of been modified. And I would support this being part of the community consultation for the strategic plan, because I think if you asked anyone in our community, they'd happily tell you that they would like to see more affordable housing for our residents. But I think we also need to have a conversation with them as to whether they think it's their responsibility to fund it. And I know it's been removed, but the original motion was in relation to setting aside land at Valla, which essentially belongs to the community. The original motion and the detail that's still in the actual supporting document doesn't sort of indicate whether it was a case of donate land or... I think most people would be fine with a government agency or an NGO purchasing the land for affordable housing. But I think we need to have that conversation, and we need to be careful of what it is potentially cost shifting. I think we all know that housing and affordable housing, whether it be rental or a home purchase, is just a really big issue. Particularly, I've regularly been contacted by families looking for rental, and families who have three or four children, there's essentially nothing available, and they're really, really struggling. But anyway, so I would support the adding this to the community consultation for the community strategic plan and getting their view on how they would like us to approach affordable housing. But I also wanted to ask Councillor Genvey, have you... How does your sort of longer-term plan fit with the report we paid $40,000 for, the Sea and Star Advisory, the business case and what do you call it, cost-benefit ratio that forms part of our current grant application? How would this impact on that?
Well, I think in planning measures, we could ask developers possibly to set aside some land for a ratio of land for affordable housing. I think this community could look at innovative models, but it needs leadership to do that, and that's it hasn't got that leadership.
I'm talking about that specific. You might, councillors.
This community is also asking the federal government for a lot of public money to help it with its development.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows whether you'll get it or not, but if you do get a lot of public money, you could actually put some aside to help people who are in need. So if
I completely understand that, Councillor Genvey. My question is,
we've actually applied for...
Well, we've actually applied for significant funding, and we paid $40,000 to get a cost-benefit analysis done, which relied on land sales. Have you given any consideration how this idea, and I'm not criticising the idea or the concept, but did you sort of do any homework or talk to staff about what impact it might have on our grant application and how it would change or potentially change the cost-benefit ratio? And the other thing I wondered was, did you check where this sits with the North Coast Regional Plan and the actual designation for that land? Does it include affordable housing as one of its aims?
I don't probably believe it does, but I think it should. I mean, the North Coast plan is now a very old plan.
Councillor Genvey, we reviewed that as a council less than 12 months ago. There was a report to council. We were actually asked to have input into that plan, and it's only recently been reviewed by the New South Wales State Government.
Well, if people want solutions to affordable housing, you can't just rely on for-profit housing. There has to be government intervention and government at all levels. So whatever that looks like on our council, we have to do something, because it is people who are on very low incomes, people who are on low incomes, and people who are on moderate incomes who happen to be families who happen to be renting who are doing it hardest, and that is quite a lot of people in our community. So council will be making money out of the sales of its land in rates or whatever for here into eternity on that block. This is about a little giving back and setting up some trials of something innovative. It doesn't have to be...
Councillor Janvey, I think you're preaching to the converted that we all support the concept of affordable housing. The only reason I'm asking these questions, and again, I'm sure you'll follow it up, or you know, other councillors will follow it up with staff, is whether we need to actually get in now and do something in terms of that North Coast Regional Plan, as in a submission or a request to have it changed, to ensure that the plan includes the ability to implement affordable housing in the Valour Urban Growth Area, because my recollection is it's designated as employment lands. So if we want to do something in terms of affordable housing, even if we can't do anything immediately, there might be other steps that we can do and need to do now, and that would also include having a look at what impact it would have on our cost-benefit ratio and whether it would have any impact on our ability to get that additional grant funding. Because if we don't get that, we won't be developing anything, whether it's affordable housing or not. That's the only reason I'm asking, just whether you had actually looked into that at this point.
I have talked to staff about it, but not particularly around that matter.
Around those no, that's fine.
How can you do the costing when it's purely in development stage? That was part of what...
Well, that was the point. We employed C-Star Advisory to do that cost-benefit analysis. And what that was about, for anyone who's wondering, was we're asking for public money, and that report was to show that for every dollar of public money, there was a significant value return. And I think that the actual cost-benefit ratio was something like 1 to 14. I don't know whether any councillors can staff can confirm that. Was it?
Madam Mayor, it was heroic. There was a lot of was a lot of fat in that cost-benefit analysis. And in this discussion, I think we have to recognise that the Valour, certainly the sales of the land for industrial and residential will be very profitable for the community. So within that, I think there is scope for the community to have input. And we don't know any models. I don't think Councillor Genvey is proposing any particular model. But the availability or the options, certainly. And I think that cost-benefit analysis was very, very strong. And I think you're right. It was about 1 to 14, which is because we own the community already own the land. And
But obviously, the concern is we put that in. You know, we need to be cautious of doing anything or changing anything that's actually going to impact on our grant application, because without that, we won't be developing anything, whether it's affordable or not. But anyway, is there any further discussion? Councillor Angel.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move an amendment to this, in support of affordable housing, of course. And the amendment, if I could get it seconded, or did we get the seconder before or after? My amendment is that council write to federal government requesting that a proportion of the $10 billion Housing Australia Future Fund be released immediately and be made available to appropriate government agencies and approved non-government organisations for the immediate purchase of existing homes and units for sale in order to provide immediate relief to individuals and particularly families on affordable or subsidised housing waiting lists. So I can give this copy.
I was just going to say, I was just going to say you appear to have a typed copy.
But
can we
that
have
mayor,
that?
I mean, that amendment is on the absolute back of this, the affordable housing.
So your amendment is the three that are already on the floor, and you're adding an additional
fourth point. Adding a fourth to try and really accelerate it.
Okay. Do we have a seconder?
Yeah, I'll
second. Seconded Councillor Vance. So the amendment is Councillor Genvey's original motion with an additional dot point. It's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Councillor Genvey.
I'm not actually going to support the amendment because I wouldn't be trying to tell the federal government to do. They've got a generous...
And billion dollars, yeah.
$10 billion.
Billion, not million, billion. Billion,
sorry. And they have a goal to build 1.5 million houses. You know, I'd be approaching them, with ideas for affordable housing plans rather than trying to hit them on the head at this stage. Yeah.
Well, it does just say, what was the wording?
Writing, we're not.
So it was just a proportion or an allocation? It wasn't.
Yeah, an allocation of the $10 billion.
Personally, I think this does have merit because although I agree.
We don't even have an affordable housing plan to hang it off. You've got an action to do a bit of advocacy. That's it. That's our affordable housing in Nambucca.
Well, that's the whole point of this, I think, Councillor Genvey. It's basically saying that some of that $10 billion be released immediately and existing homes be purchased by, what is it? Yeah, by appropriate government agencies and approved non-government organisations.
I think the federal government is doing its best to do this.
Well, so it's up to Councillor Angell to speak to it, but I interpret this as the point being there's $10 billion sitting there. We have hundreds of families and individuals looking for accommodation.
And yet you don't have an affordable housing plan or an affordable housing strategy.
We don't have affordable housing options paper.
Yeah. Yeah. Why do you need all of those? Why not simply help guide you? Well, that's no help to somebody who's sleeping in their car tonight. I'm sorry, Councillor Jenny, but I'm a little over all of these plans and strategies and whatever. You know, these people need help immediately.
It includes applying for the funding that is being released. But all of a sudden you think, because you write to them, they're going to release it.
It's only right to them, and the motion includes your things as well, which are the longer-term things. I think Councillor Angell's trying to achieve something. There are houses on the market at the moment and units that if they were purchased by government agencies and made available as part of the public housing stocks, it would at least do something. Councillor Vance.
Madam Mayor, I'm in real estate and we get calls from Housing Australia. They do purchase private homes. They've purchased private homes in the Valley before. And we just haven't had any calls for the last, say, 4 years of them searching for homes. So they definitely do purchase homes in the Valley with their money and they need to release the funds.
Well, and can I remind councillors, and some of you may not have been on council at the time, back when we were developing the last stage at Highland Park of the council-owned land, which was residential housing, it was at a point when the market improved. We had actually covered all of our costs and done quite well out of it, and we had two or three blocks of land remaining. We actually contacted government and we offered fully serviced blocks of sale, two blocks, and I can't be 100% sure, but I think that they were zoned that they could have had units built on them as well as a house. Yes, they could. Mr. Walsh is nodding. We offered two blocks free of charge to the government, and their response was, we'd love to have the land, but we haven't got the money to build on them. And I think to hear that and then know there's $10 billion, you try telling to someone who's sleeping in their car tonight that the government's got $10 billion in a pot, but we need a strategy and we need to... Sorry.
Madam Mayor, Councillor Vance. With social housing, what they're doing now is they're actually purchasing properties in different areas and including them into the community so that they're not in high concentrations in certain streets. And it's just the way that they're doing it now. So they're not actually going in and purchasing 20 blocks at a time and building houses. They prefer to buy them already built. Yeah.
If you're talking about social housing, that's a state government issue.
Any kind of housing. There are people on public housing waiting lists by the thousands, and some of them have been on those lists for 7 years, and they've got... By the time they get housing, their kids are going to have left home and be sleeping in their cars, in their old bangers.
Madam Mayor, can I just clear? I'm supporting the 1, 2 and the recommendations to do this and piggybacking my own amendment to support it even further. I don't think there's anything against writing to the federal government out of their $10 billion fund to get funds. We might have units that we could buy off the plan if they release funds for public housing. So what, there is nothing wrong with what I'm trying to propose here as an amendment on the back of this motion on the floor.
All right, if there's no other discussion, I'm going to put the amendment. Those in favour? The amendment is carried. It becomes the motion. Is there any further discussion on the motion? I'm going to call a division on this, if I can get a seconder for the division. Thank you. Those in favour of the motion, please stand. Thank you. Those against, please stand.
I'd like it reported also that writing to the federal government and telling them what to do, I don't think goes very far. So I don't think it's the appropriate thing to do when you've got.
Thank you, Councillor Janvey. But I'd remind all councillors that one of our roles as elected local government members is to represent our community to the higher levels of government.
Absolutely.
But anyway, councillors, we'll now move on to.
I would have thought that would have been when you put in all your grant applications, Madam Mayor.
No. I'll move on to the public forum, and our first speaker is Mr. Glenn Davidson. And Mr. Davidson is speaking on behalf of the Nambucca Valley Youth Services Centre, and he's going to talk a little about the history and current programs of the youth. Welcome, Mr. Davidson, if you'd like to come forward.
Firstly, I'd just like to say thank you, Madam Mayor and councillors, for allowing me to speak at the meeting. My name is Glenn Davidson. I'm a long-term committee member of the Nambucca Valley Youth Services Incorporated in Ridge Street in Nambucca Heads. As a long-term committee member, I would like to talk about our current position. The youthy, as we are commonly referred to in the Valley, we've existed since 2003. We were originally set up by Nambuckashire Council's youth development officer at the time, a lady by the name of Nancy Corbett, in response to a spike in youth suicides and mental health issues in the Valley at the time, particularly after the murder of Caleb Jarrett. As a group, we are a voluntary, frontline, non-government organisation that has been successfully funded for the last 21 years through a mix of local, state and federal funding. We are currently classified as a deductible gift recipient charity organisation in relation to taxation. The fact that we have sustained funding through this period of successive governments and economic changes and COVID, I think is an indicator of our successful governance and financial management over the long term. Our funding over the last 21 years has ranged in disbursements of between $1,000 to $1 million. Over the years and up to the present, we have had many partnerships and collaborations with several other groups operating from our centre. These include Reconnect Youth and Family Services, Momentum Housing, Headspace MNC, which of course at the time was the first Headspace in Australia, Uniting Becoming You. We've worked with our, and still continue to work with our three local high schools, the Men's Shed, the Bowerville Youth Hub, the Aboriginal Health and Community Services, local businesses, the CWA, Rotary, Lions, and local church groups. During the time that we have been fully funded and staffed, we, over 100 young people, have consistently attended and benefited from the weekly training programs that we had offered at different times. The current numbers utilising our service are among 50 to 60 young people, and it's through access to weekly holiday programs, Friday feeds, Momentum Housing, Headspace, and youthy drop-ins. We need your help. We have been hit in 2024 by a perfect storm of increased costs for such things as insurances, public liability, workers' compensation, and of course utilities costs. And we realise it's just not only us. I mean, we're all in straitened times at the moment. We fully understand that. It is costing us $50,000 to $75,000 a year just to keep the youthy doors open and operational, and that doesn't even factor in the value of our committed volunteers, of which we have several. This is the backbone of our organisation. Currently, we have enough funding to get us through to the end of 2024, and if we don't get any more funding, we're looking at impending closure in early 2025. For a long time now, we honestly believe that we've been punching above our weight as a community voluntary organisation in regards to the commitment of our long-term volunteers, in regards to our Friday feeds and pop-up events, together with providing a venue for other local support services here in the Valley. It is inevitable, through the role that we play, we encounter groups of young people or individuals who are starting to make their way in the world. They have come to the youthy as their first point of contact, where they are invariably accepted for who they are, and we supply a process of safe and easy access to other community health and support services, as well as helping them to develop self-confidence and skills in several other different areas. Recent examples, a number of young people fairly new to the Valley have gained vocational hospitality skills. I'm sorry, I didn't realise.
Okay. Well, you're being recorded.
Okay. Recent examples are a number of young people fairly new to the town who have gained vocational hospitality skills through us. One now has an apprenticeship, another has become a member of the Nambucca Valley Youth Council, and others have grown in confidence through our former singing program, and they now perform in their own bands locally. All have much improved self-esteem and life skills. I believe our soft method of entry youth support can be invisible, but it is absolutely significant, the effect that it's having in the Valley. We have worked closely with the local Aboriginal community over the years, including such programs as the SANS Youth at Risk program, which included a 40% Indigenous youth component, the Roadmap project, which was a five-year project in response to Caleb Jarrett's murder, local Aboriginal development of skills, the LADS project, which was a partnership with TAFE and the Youthy, and also the Aboriginal Night Patrol as a partnership with the Wesley Mission. The community support services currently using our premises include youth homelessness services, Headspace youth mental services, family services, youth holiday creative programs, homeschooling, and we are actually, for a while now, we've been running a food pantry, which is stocked with assistance from the United Church Op Shop and private donations. And we're handing out food packages to whoever walks in through the door and asks for help. Okay. We also run the regular Friday night feeds from
Mr. Davidson, do you have much to go? Because I'm going to need a motion for an extension of time. Moved.
No, all right.
It's all right. No. Moved Councillor Vance, seconded Councillor Ballengarry. Those in favour? Against? It's carried.
Okay, thank you. Okay. With the Friday free Friday feeds that we run at the Mobile Cafe, our clientele for these particular events now includes young families, older single community members and the homeless. We are providing around 70 free meals on a consistent basis, as well as facilitating entry-level skills in hospitality in the process of delivering this community service. In regards to our pop-up events, for example, we did a skatey event at Coronation Park earlier this year. We handed out over 180 sausage sandwiches in a few hours, and they were very well received. So I honestly believe, and as a group, we believe that council supporting us is a win-win situation. A truly sustainable model of community development in the Nambucca Valley and into the future needs essential support, particularly in regards to the provision of effective, ongoing community youth support services. Our kids are our future. Therefore, we need to strengthen and maintain our intergenerational connections through mentoring and support, rather than potentially trivialising them or minimising them. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Davidson. And just if you'd remain there. Councillors, are there any questions for Mr. Davidson?
Yeah, could I ask Mr. Jones? Davidson, are you having any success with state and federal funding or other sort of funding bodies? And if so, is there a role maybe for council to be a partner in that sort of process?
We would appreciate any support in that way. We have we've actually approached Pat Conaghan, who was quite amenable. We ended up having a good meeting with Pat Conaghan. Also, with other people involved in local politics, and basically we would appreciate any support that we could possibly get from the council in our current position.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Davidson? Councillor Angel.
Madam Mayor, Mr. Davidson, well done for starters. I know I've got to ask a question here, but just listening to your passion about it all, mate, I've got 5 kids under 18, and okay. To listen to your effort for it all, you know, I'm just a dad doing it half good, I reckon, you know, half as good as I can, compared to what you're dishing out there. That youth services is magnificent, and that was really lovely to listen to.
Thank you.
I mean, I'll be guided by you, Madam Mayor, how I can ask the question of our council, and we've got a wonderful grants officer that seems to have wonderful success. How can we get you guys to connect? I mean, I know you've talked to Pat Conaghan.
Councillor Angel, can I suggest that given that it's a public forum and we can't move anything...
I'll be guided by you, Madam Mayor.
in a public forum under the Code of Meeting Practice, as you're aware, we can't move anything other than calling for a report.
Understandably.
So could I suggest that we have another speaker as well from the youth, from the youthy. I think I'm allowed to just call it the youthy. That's what everybody else does.
It does, yes. Everyone does,
We have another speaker from the youthy, so perhaps at the end of that you might consider moving, calling for a report relating to the ways, and one of them would be assisting with grant applications, in which council could assist and work with the youthy to obtain further state and federal funding, something along those lines.
Well, Madam Mayor, I look forward to the next two presentations, but I think I'd like to call that for that report straight away on the back of the first presentation.
You can.
Yep.
Sorry. As soon as no one else has a question for Mr. Davidson. Yep. Are there any other questions for Mr. Davidson? No? Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you for your time.
You can resume your seat. Councillor Angel.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the opportunity or move a motion to call for a report on the back of that presentation, that we seek any opportunity, basically, to work with them and assist any grant funding.
Maybe to second that, Madam Mayor.
Seconded, Councillor Jones. We'll just wait until the word... I think that the wording was that council receive a report... on options for assisting the youthy in obtaining
grant funding
to sustain the current service.
Perfect.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, that was nice.
Thank you. And Councillor Jones, that was what you're seconding?
Mayor, I think I was going to move something very similar, and I think that's the essence of it. I think the ability, and I'm glad we haven't put in just federal and state government, because there may well be a range of other non-government organisations.
Could be philanthropic organisations, local organisations or partnerships, yeah.
I think implicit in that is that we will be seen as being in partnership with the youth at this stage, so that that would allow them to have a bit more gravitas, for want of a better word. And we're all aware of the issues that we face, and we're all aware of a whole range of... So this group are at the top of the cliff and not at the bottom, and I think that's something to be commended. So I think that's a great opportunity, and I think it's a good that the council is seen in that space.
And I just remind council of, I think, was it the last council meeting, the report regarding rates relief for the youthy, which was supported unanimously. It was the last meeting, yeah. So again, it's just one bill, and I know they have a lot of others, but there's one thing that council has been able to do. Is there any further discussion on the motion? Councillor Janvey?
I quite like to see council in a partnership with the youthy, like a working partnership. We have in the past have had youth officers and the like. When we come up to the report on youth speak, I mean, there are a lot of actions that people are wanting. So if I'd like to move an amendment, actually, that council receive a report on the options, if I can get a seconder, for not only assisting the youth in grant funding, but also in working with them.
Well, I think that was more or less what...
No, it's separate. It's working with them or a partnership.
But what I'm saying is, I think that's what the intent of Councillor Angel was talking about, you know, how we could partner with them, whether it be...
It's not in the resolution, so I'm moving an amendment to it, Madam Mayor.
Yeah, well, again, I was just going to ask whether Councillor Angel was just happy to add that onto the end of it, well, and Councillor Jones, obviously.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that was the gist of what I was trying to...
That's what I was trying to say. I think the gist of what Councillor Angel and what Councillor Jones had seconded was a report on options for assisting, working with, partnering, and I think Councillor Jones' comment was a partnership with council would perhaps add additional gravitas to any... If they're supported by council, it may help them in terms of any grant applications. We may be able to have our grants officer... I know that she has got a raft of information that she has readily available that she often makes available to organisations other than council committees. But for community projects, rather than them have to spend hours and hours looking around for statistics and information. So I think potentially there's lots of things that we can do. So if the report looks at both assisting with grant funding and working with them or partnering with them, mover and seconder happy with that? Okay, that's the motion now. That covers what you were after, Councillor Jenby?
I would have liked it as an amendment. Would have liked to have been given the opportunity to have an amendment, Madam Mayor, but...
Well, you didn't get a sec... There was no...
I asked for a seconder. You didn't give me the option to get it, so...
Councillor Jenby, you don't ask for a seconder. Somebody else has to second. If no one seconds... Again, what... Why would you want to make it an amendment if the mover and seconder are happy to keep it, make it the motion? All you're doing is having an amendment that becomes the motion.
With my motion, Madam Mayor, to have accepted the amendment.
Oh, you wanted your name on the motion.
Well, I did a lot of work to it. Sorry. Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor.
No, well, just sorry, I didn't. I couldn't get why you wanted to have an amendment that would become the motion, and then we deal with the motion. Mm. Well, anyway, it's now a motion. So, if there's no further discussion, I'm going to put it. Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Now, our second speaker is Mr. Hugel. I saw Chris earlier. Mr. Chris Hugel is also speaking on behalf of the Nambucca Valley Youth Services. That's more formal than the youthy.
We call it the Nambucca youthy. Thank you, Council, for inviting us. I won't really speak long because I thought Glenn's talk was excellent in covering everything. But I'm also a board member, the treasurer on the UFI, but I was also 20 years as the youth worker or the youth coordinator at the Nambucca UFI, and also worked as a program coordinator for SANS, which was a program through Wesley Mission. Glenn covered everything in terms of the need, you know, and everybody probably in this room has seen the need. It was set up in the original thing by Nancy Corbett on youth suicides. It's a very personal issue for me in terms of youth suicides, and particularly in this area, I think there's a lot of people that are touched by depression and youth suicide. The UFI is one place where it's, the word is almost a refuge, a safe place where young people can go to. I'd like to just cover a couple of just case studies of what happens with young people in the valley. And one of them is a young woman that came to us many years ago, and she was young, quite young, probably 14, 15, homeless, at high risk of abuse and mental health, and she also had issues with self-harm. We supported her through the UFI programs over a number of years, and during that time, helped her with getting back to school and also with some of the family issues, and that was things like Reconnect and also Headspace and bringing in all these specialist services. So the UFI acted as a bit of a one-stop shop to help those young person get through that period. She's now runs her own business in town, or in the valley, and she's actually gone the full circle in working with the young people that she used to be. The one thing that's happening for us too that's quite exciting is we've gone into partnership with a company called, and Deirdre's in the background there, so I know if I get the spelling right, Amnesium? God, can't believe I said that right. Two young Aboriginal people have worked with us over probably a period of 5 or 6 years, and those young Aboriginal people do online stuff in the back of the room. It's quite amazing to see. They're dealing with companies in Canberra and the government, and they're basically incredibly well paid. It's lifted, I wouldn't say lifted out of poverty, but it's lifted these two young people into a situation where they can now afford cars, homes. It's lifted their whole community and their families. And this is the innovative sort of stuff that the Youth Centre can do. It's quite exciting sometimes to sort of see the stuff that's happening. And that's where, you know, the concern of the fact that we're looking down the gun barrel of closure in 2025. But, you know, the benefit to the community is in a lot of different ways, and I won't bore you too much, but I think that because we're on Crown land, we actually have a Crown land lease. That is a very, very good Crown land lease. You don't get a building in the centre of town. Once you lose that building in the centre of town, a community building, you'll never get it back. It will be lost to the community, and all those services such as Reconnect, Headspace, all those places, people that can come in will leave. And we all know about outreach and people that basically, I call them coffee workers sometimes, will come and leave. If they've got a base, they'll actually stay here. So that's one of the reasons. The neighbourhood centre, there isn't a neighbourhood centre in Nambucca. Neighbourhood centres are really important. We've acted as a de facto neighbourhood centre for probably 10 years. You know, young people come in that are outside of the age group, we actually help them. You know, we've always had that, and that's where Friday Feeds and the food stuff. So, again, you know, that's the social connection and soft entry that Glenn was talking about. And like I said, I'm retired now, and I cross the road if I see too many young people. But I'd like to sort of say that after 35 years, I sort of know that what will happen if this closes, you don't get this stuff back, and that it will cost council, state government and the federal government a lot of money to actually sort of bring up another youth centre or a community centre or a neighbourhood centre. So that's why I'm really hopeful that we can save it. And Nambucca Heads, with all its beauty, has a dark side. and everybody would recognise that here. You know, poverty, homelessness, mental health, drug and alcohol, crime, youth suicide, and the big one for me, after all the years, was domestic violence. It goes right through this community. And the sad stuff is the fact that many young people don't have somewhere to go. The youth centre is one of those places that is safe to go to. What I don't want to have is the original youth centre was set up on a series of spike of youth suicides. I don't want to see the youth centre go down and suddenly see that sort of stuff happen again. So if council could help us lobby or even partner with us in the future, that's exciting. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hugel. And please don't let, just in case, councillors, any questions for Mr. Hugel? None? Thank you, sir. We also have Ms. Ellie Tree here tonight, and Ms. Tree is speaking on behalf of Youth Speak, and she's going to talk about the Youth Speak project. And councillors, you will have all been, and I know some people had trouble opening it, so did everybody get the copy on the hub or through? Oh, you've got, oh, someone's been very, very good and given you a paper copy, but I did hope that you were able to open it and actually read it before tonight's meeting. Welcome, Ellie.
Thanks, Rhonda. Good evening, Madam Mayor and councillors. My name is Ellie Tree. You may know me as the Deputy Mayor at Bellingen Shire Council. However, tonight I'm wearing my youth worker hat, and you'll have to forgive me for being millennial and reading off my phone. I don't have a printer. I've had the privilege of working with young people across the Nambucca Valley in various roles over the past 4 years with the Department of Communities and Justice, the Youth Homelessness Service, Wesley Mission, and currently I'm collaborating with Uniting's Becoming You program to roll out the Youth Speak project across the Nambucca Valley. This project began in the Bellingen Shire 2.5 years ago and has seen several social and financial successes since then. This year, the Youth Speak project began its journey here in the Nambucca Valley, and I'm excited to present the first 6 months of our work within the pages of the report in front of you. The primary goal of the project was to understand the biggest barriers young people face in achieving their employment and education goals within the valley, to identify projects they're keen to lead, to assess their sense of connection to community, and to support them to lead their own ideas to fruition. The success of this project is due to the incredible young people who participated, as well as the support of the Nambucca Valley Youth Interagency, which comprises of all the local schools, SureTrack, the Youth Services, New South Wales Police and Health, and more recently, Nambucca Valley Council. I want to especially acknowledge Council's Manager of Economic Development and Tourism, Michael Grieve, for his efforts in bringing Council into the conversation and the solution-seeking process. Thank you. The first thing I want to highlight in the report is the response rate to the survey, which was 39% of young people aged 12 to 17 across the valley. For comparison, the National Annual Youth Survey rolled out by Mission Australia has a response rate of 0.7%. So most of whom of those are young people from metro areas who have access to technology and the time and capacity to fill out surveys. The Nambucca Valley Youth Speak Survey reached a broad demographic with a nearly even gender split, strong representation across different age groups and areas within the valley, and 29% of respondents identifying as Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander. I could spend a whole day unpacking the results of the survey, but the exciting parts are what came next, so I'll let you read the results in your spare time. Following the survey, we held the Nambucca Valley Youth Speak Forum at Maxville High School Stadium in April, where over 200 young people participated, supported by 40 facilitators and scribes, who are all members of our community and some of who are here tonight. Special shout out to the Mayor, who engaged with the young people and services throughout the day as well. The forum allowed us to delve deeper into the top five issues that young people identified were most significant for them, which were alcohol and drugs, mental health, racism, bullying, and crime, safety, and violence. Young people also shared what they want to see more and less of in their community on a giant bus that I would have loved to bring here tonight, but it wouldn't have fit in the room. Basically, they want to see less violence, racism, drugs, and prejudice, more youth events, spaces for young people, transport, access to sport, and free mental health services. We also used big maps of the main areas across the valley for young people to mark areas in which they felt safe and unsafe. These maps provided valuable insight, particularly at the Community Crime Forum in Nambucca, which your Deputy Mayor attended. And the maps really helped us to see that not all young people are perpetrators of crime, and that actually young people also feel unsafe in the same areas the adults do within the valley. And most importantly, to emphasise that creating solutions is our collective responsibility. When young people were asked how they want to communicate with us, they suggested using Instagram broadcast channels, which they are keen to get in discussions with the Valley Hub, and a regular column in News of the Area. The forum ended with young people pitching project ideas around events like night markets, festivals, and cultural activities. Since then, we've been working with schools and SureTrack to support young people in further developing their project concepts. Several events have already been funded or have grant applications pending, including working with Council on the Open Streets program and collaborating with a youth-led event in Bowraville. This is just the beginning of the Nambucca Valley Youth Speak project, and we're grateful for Council's support. This project is also excitedly shortlisted as the New South Wales Youth Project of the Year by Youth Action, which is the peak advocacy body for young people in New South Wales. I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have, and if not, thank you for allowing me to share this report on behalf of all young people across the Nambucca Valley.
Thank you, Ms. Tree. Councillors, are there any questions for Ms. Tree? None? Thank you. And thank you to the staff member who actually printed all of the copies so that everyone had one that they could take home and read. Okay, councillors, we have no questions with notice, no questions for closed meeting, and we've dealt with item 9.1. So we'll go to page 25, item 9.2.
Going to move that, Madam Mayor.
Moved Councillor Jones, seconded Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 33, item 9.3.
Move.
Moved Councillor Wilson, seconded Councillor Janvey. Any discussion? Councillor Janvey.
Yeah, I think this is a fantastic day, both the staff. I attended it last time as a councillor. It is important that you can reach out if things are not okay, like at work, so it's nice that everybody gets together. It's a bit of a... it's a great day. So I recommend the initiative and hope staff have a nice day.
Thank you. If I could ask a question to the General Manager, I note that this states that all councillors are invited to attend. Would it be possible to arrange an Outlook invitation to go to everybody's tablets so that they actually get the reminders? And
Yes, Madam Mayor, I can arrange that.
Just making sure they don't forget. Thank you. If there's no other discussion, those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 35, item 9.4. Moved Councillor Vance, seconded Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 37, item 9.5.
This, Madam Mayor.
Moved Councillor Angel,
seconded
Councillor Vance. Any discussion? Councillor Janvey.
Yeah, this is a good move that this is coming under council's jurisdiction. There's a lot that goes on in this particular part of the reserve now, so it's very busy, and there's been quite a bit of development on it. So, good mix.
Thank you. I have a question, if I may, to the General Manager. You might want to take this on notice. I was just curious, seeing as we don't currently have care, control and management, and from what I read in the attachment explaining the difference between devolved land and that which over which we have care, control and management, how did we go about putting the infrastructure that's already there? Did that involve continual continually having to ask consent from the Crown?
I don't know the specifics of it, Madam Mayor. Thank you for the question. I'm assuming that the Crown was requested permission as the land manager on each occasion, such as the, I think the stage was the most recent one. If that's the case, that can cause undue delays when, in delivering those grant-funded projects. So this is a mechanism by which we can, I guess, cut some of the red tape.
So the benefit of this is that if we're the Crown land manager, rather than it just being devolved, and if we have a plan of management obviously approved by the Crown, that we can go ahead and do these things without having to continually piecemeal style.
That's correct. We can sign the application, if you like, to build infrastructure on that land.
Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing this will be important too for the footbridge?
If it's in accordance with the plan of management. If footbridge as well, I know we've got approval from Crown Lands to do that, and part of that approval was that it must be replaced within the existing easement.
Mm-hmm.
So that's bureaucracy's been dealt with, but that took some time. I think that was about a 6-month wait to get that. That's the example that I'm using, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If we get this approval to become the Crown Land Manager, then that will streamline some of those processes.
And well, that sounds like a positive. It's from what I read in the attachment, we're still responsible for it. When it's devolved to us, it's just we can't do anything without...
That's correct.
Yes. Okay, thank you. Any other discussion on this item? Any other questions? Councillor Angel.
Madam Mayor, to the General Manager, is there any other Crown land parcels like this that are, you know, potentially seeking activation to come across to our care? Because, I mean, obviously the risk analysis looking at it is that we're looking at this because it's obviously being a bit more popular, and I'm sure over in Nambucca Valley we're becoming more popular as a tourism hotspot. Are we looking at more opportunity for this to take care of these parcels of land?
Yes, on a case-by-case basis we will. Plans of management cost money to develop.
We're
not experts in that area, so we'd normally get a consultant to, you know, deliver that for us. So the assessment's always going to be how much does it cost, what's the benefit? Because I'm sure you're aware there are hundreds of pieces of Crown land for which we're the manager, or the devolved manager, which we don't need a plan of management for, and nor are we going to pay the money to develop one. It would only be the ones that have that higher use that you referred to.
Next question. How is that flagged to the council? When does it become into your category to look at that this is becoming too active for Crown to sustain, or that we should take over looking after it?
Thank you for your question, Councillor Angel. I'll be careful with my response. Generally, if we find it troublesome or particularly taking a long time with Crown Lands, that will be a red flag for us that maybe we should be the Crown Land Manager. They always have the final say, and they approve the plan of management. We can't deviate from that. So there's strict rules about what we can and can't do. Val is a good example. There is some infrastructure there, quite a fair bit of infrastructure there now, which is community funded. It's money's been raised by the community, built by the community, and used by the community, and the community should have the ability to manage that going forward. So we'll look at them on a case-by-case basis, but generally it's triggered when we have trouble getting it through that bureaucracy.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any other questions, or is there any further discussion? Those in favour, against, it's carried. page 39, item 10.1. Moved Councillor Wilson. Seconded Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 42, item 10.2.
Move this, Madam Mayor.
Moved Councillor Angel. Seconded Councillor Ballengarry. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 45, item 10.3. Moved Councillor Genvey. Seconded Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Councillor Genvey.
I think I'm very supportive of the recommendation and that operations at the visitor centre come back onto council, that its marketing function comes back to council, and also that we employ the part-time tourism officer. I think this is pretty essential to where we are with our tourism strategy, and I think it's a good thing that it does come back to council. I'm supporting the recommendation.
Is there any other discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 50, item 10.4. Moved Councillor Jones. Seconded Councillor Wilson. Any discussion? Councillor Genvey.
To the General Manager, a question to the General Manager.
Councillor Genvey, can you speak up a little bit or move your microphone? Because I think that we're having a little trouble having it picked up on the recording.
Okay. A question to the General Manager about the Barrville Theatre dressing rooms. This has been on our books for a couple of years. It's a pretty critical piece of infrastructure out at Barrville. It's going forward to next year. Will we see action on it next year? Will it be?
Thank you for your question, Councillor Genvey. Given the delays on that project, I've asked for a review as to where it is currently at. I think I'll refer the rest of the question to the Director of Engineering.
So through the General Manager, so we've arranged for a review of the project next Tuesday and hoping to report back to Council at the next meeting in order to determine the outcome, what have we found, where the project's up to, and the full details of where we're at with the project.
A supplementary question, will that include details of the grant funding status?
Through the General Manager, so yes, we'll look at the funding and where the project's up to and some of the constraints and issues that are in the project as it stands.
And there'll be a report to Council in relation to that?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other... Councillor Genvey.
Another question for the General Manager about the replacement of the roof at the Maxwell Aquatic and Fitness Centre. I just thought we'd done this. What has happened?
That's a very broad question, Councillor Genvey. I'll take that one on notice, if you like, and email all the councils a brief project update, if that suffices.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillors, can I just remind you that when you read your business papers, if you have questions, whether you want to just contact staff, if it's something that you think all councillors would be interested in the answer to, it is good to ask, or obviously the general public, it is good to ask those questions at a council meeting and during the meeting. But when you're reading your business paper, know that you have some questions that you want to ask at the council meeting. If at all possible, just as a courtesy, can you let the council staff know so that you can. The whole point is you can then get an answer, or hopefully get an answer on the night rather than staff having to take it on notice. Just a reminder to people. It helps everyone if you can do that. Is there any other discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 53, item 10.5.
I'll second that.
Moved Councillor Angel, seconded Councillor Vance. Any discussion? Yeah, a long running and a great project. And a lot of people who are very generous in donating both goods and time, so, yeah. Those in favour? Against? Carried unanimously. Page 55, item 11.1. Moved Councillor Angel, seconded Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? Carried. Page 58, item 11.2.
This.
Moved Councillor Jenvey, seconded Councillor Angel. It's open for discussion. Councillor Jenvey.
I'm in favour of the recommendation, Madam Mayor. We will be making the industrial estate slightly smaller to make it cheaper to develop. So, and I think the blocks, there's a few larger ones in there, about four of them, but the rest of them probably fit what's right for the market. That's what's in the report, so I'm supportive of it.
Okay, no other discussion? If not, I'll put it. It's a planning matter. Those in favour, please stand. Thank you. There being none against, I'll declare it carried. Page 61, item 11.3. And this is the item I've declared a pecuniary interest in. So I will leave the chamber and I'll ask the Deputy Mayor to take the chair. Thank you, Councillor Wilson.
We're looking at item 11.3. Draft development controls for horticulture. Mover and seconder, please.
Move.
Thank you, sir. Always this is Councillor Jenvey and Councillor Jones. Any comments or can?
Yeah, I'll comment. Look, I will be interested to read all the submissions, both from the farming community. And also other people who live on rural lands. I think first and foremost, we are a community rather than a place purely for industrial rural purposes. And buffers make for good neighbours. So I look forward to reading the submissions and seeing the report that comes back to council on this matter. So it's an important one for this community.
Any other? Councillor Jones.
Thank you, Mr Deputy Mayor, and I'd like to congratulate the staff for their work, and I'd also like to congratulate the community on their advocacy. And one of the things I've found has been really interesting is that other councils across the Mid-North Coast are actually looking at our lead. So it's fantastic that we're leading, or our community through their advocacy is seeing us now leading. And I know people right through from the Clarence down past Kempsey are concerned about this issue. So if we can have some controls and some mechanisms where there's more equality and fairness in the rural areas, I think it's a really powerful thing. So again, I look forward to people making submissions.
Okay. Any further discussion, Councillor Avery?
Yeah, just on the back of Councillor Jones, I agree. I think there's a lot of, yeah, a lot of interaction, whether positive or negative, with this coming to the table. And I really would absolutely commend the council and the correct employees that engage this to take their time and do it properly. It's a massive event, putting this to the, obviously the community and then to state after that for corrections. So, you know, I think this is obviously farming's a massive part of our community, generates a lot, it's hugely important of our history and our future. And I really enjoy the sticker actually coming to the car is, you know, there's a right to farm, but we've got to farm right. And I think the controls that we've explored to put to this design change to our process are as absolutely extended as much as we can. So, look, I've enjoyed the patience here. I think the staff have copped a lot. The mayor's copped a lot. And as far as what we've come up with here to come to the community, should be committed. And I hope the community feels like the patience is worth it for as much as we can take forward. We all have the community, have the environment at our forefront. It's what dragged us here from wherever we are across the country that wanted to move here. The environment is absolutely beautiful. The people are beautiful. And we want exactly that. We want people to farm it right. So, commend yous all on taking the patience to get this right and standing up and really, really putting a good paper forward here.
Thank you, Councillor Angel. Any further comments? In that case, I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
The planning?
Stand, please. All in favour, thank you very much. So, hold on.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Wilson, and we'll now deal with item 11.4, which is on page 64. Moved, Councillor Ballengarry. Seconded, Councillor Buchanan. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. There are no late reports, so we'll go to page 66, item 12.1. Moved, Councillor Wilson. Seconded, Councillor Janvey. Any discussion? Those in favour? Against? It's carried. Page 69, item 12.2. Moved, Councillor Buchanan. Seconded, Councillor Janvey. Any discussion? Councillor Angel.
I should have declared some sort of it. I'm Vice President of the Nambucca Valley Lions AFL, so I'm just not sure I should, may have declared something here.
So you're an office bearer of a youth group?
Yes.
If you're an office bearer, I think it's pecuniary. Even so, I've got a feeling that if you're an office bearer.
Reasonable expectation.
Reasonable.
Yeah.
There'd be no.
I think that.
Yeah.
I'm happy to lose
my
the
because we're uncertain. And the minutes will note that Councillor Angel has declared an interest. Left the chamber and will not participate in discussion or voting. I just won't say what kind of interest.
We can have a look at that, and if it's non-pecuniary significant interest, we'll record it as that.
Yep. Thank you. Sorry, we have a mover and seconder. Councillor Janvey, are you?
Are we up for discussion?
Yes.
Look, I think this is a good project. It's had plenty of funding from government, and it's gone a bit over, but I think the long-term results of having these fields that drain will be fantastic. So it's a bit of pain, but we're in a process and need to get through the end.
Well, I'm actually the council representative on the committee, and all of these sporting fields, EJ Biffin is one sporting field that has been asking for help for goodness knows how long, because the water just lays there for weeks and weeks. And part of the issue, of course, was drainage under the old highway. Yeah, it'll certainly make a difference. And I think everybody, if from all of the speakers that we've heard tonight, you know, to have, particularly for young people, to have them out in those fields, you know, whether they're just throwing a ball around or playing a team sport, it's a real positive. If there's no other discussion, those in favour? Against? It's carried. Could we have Councillor Angel back? Councillors, well, we don't have any late reports, so could I have a motion to go to closed meeting? Moved Councillor Jones, seconded Councillor Ballengarry. Have there been any written or verbal representations regarding going into closed?
No, Madam Mayor, I do not.
Thank you. In that case, those in favour, against, it's carried. Councillors will now resume in open meeting, and I'll ask the General Manager to read out the resolutions made in closed.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. For item, there was one item in closed meeting 13.1, matters regarding realised or potential losses, and Council resolved to note the information concerning incidents where there is a realised or potential loss of funds and or reputation. Thank you.
Thank you, and there being no further business, I'll thank everyone for their patience, their courtesy and their attendance, and declare the meeting closed.